Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live.
All right, so we've been broadcasting live throughout the day, which has been a lot of fun, and we are gearing up to gear into the weekend and get a little bit of an entertainment review. So first off, right off the bat, let us welcome my friend and my cohort in entertainment, the one, the only, the very cool Adam.
Cool. Plugging you into the movie.
Hello, glad to be here today. And I wish that my children were here so they could see me kind of dancing because they would be rolling their eyes.
I can feel their eyes rolling from here. And, that's right.
Like, you know what? I don't feel as old as you think I am.
That's right. And, you know, it's like vintage. It's like a fine wine, you know, that coolness just becomes better with vintage.
Just better with age. I like how you think, Michelle.
Dude, what is up with kids and the eye rolling? I mean, I'm sure I did my fair share of eye rolling back in the day. I'm just curious about that. Is there something that takes place in your optical nerves that allow for more fluid movement and so it just happens, or is
I think it's just years of training, you know? I mean, honestly, I know you were sort of asking the question a little bit facetiously, but I've been looking at a book recently called The Collapse of Parenting.
Oh. And
I think that culturally, like, kids today regularly say and do things to their parents that you and I would not have dreamed of doing. And I think that there's a general...
Do I know that? Because if you ever have your kids, you know, I've seen this where kids get to a point and their kids are doing something and they're like, oh my gosh, you would have killed me if I
just boom, you're dead. Sorry.
Brought you into this world, take you out.
Exactly.
That kind of
That is exactly what I was going to say. So, you know, I think that the eye rolling thing is that kids just feel free to openly disrespect their parents. And, you know, not everything about the good old days was all that great. I think in many ways.
Okay.
There are cultural trends today that allow us to have better relationships with our kids than we had back in the 80s. You know, you watch any of those 80s movies and the adults are always the enemy. You know, it's always the kids versus the adults. And I actually don't think it's that way anymore, but I do think that we can swing too far the other way. Whereas, you know, adults are just, you know, slightly older friends and treated accordingly. And that's not good either. So,
and you're negotiating with your kids, you know, when sometimes they just need to be put in a corner. And yeah, it's true. Right. And that's where I was talking in the prior shows this week about how we seem to be so out of balance in our world. Yeah. You know, and I think oftentimes when we take out the God equation, it causes us to list in the wrong direction.
Well, here's an observation I would make in general. I think we're lousy in our culture at saying no to almost everything. Like, you see these ads, and this is where I'll make the plugged in tie-in for Worldview.
Ah, okay.
No Limits or Outback Statehouse. Sorry for the product shout out. No, just right. You know, I'm like, well, that's stupid. There are rules. I can't come into your, you know, I can't come into your establishment dressed inappropriately. You do actually have basic standards, but there's this love affair with the idea that we don't have limits and we don't have to pay attention to them. And I think it's infected a lot of our culture in ways that things that we understood implicitly in previous generations are now up for grabs. And it's all because of this idea that I get to decide everything for me that's right and wrong and up and down and left and right. And it's not true. There are basic realities that you can deny, but you're just being an idiot, right? I mean, there are certain things that are true, whether you feel like they're true or not. And then that leads me to, can I free associate a tiny bit more?
Let's just roll with it.
And this is entertainment related. So Billie Eilish is a singer who's super interesting, right? She's been around for about 3 years, and she has largely become, well, one of her claims to fame, I'm typing at the same time, is that she has worn really baggy clothes and she has stayed away from sexualizing herself. Well, until this week, which she appeared on British Vogue in basically a lingerie shoot for all intents and purposes. And I'm looking for the actual article so that I can tell you the headline, because the headline, I thought, absolutely speaks volumes to where we're at culturally.
Interesting. For those who don't know, Billie Eilish really is indeed kind of a voice of Gen Z, kind of an emo, and such. I'm interested in the quote.
So the quote is, "It's all about what makes you feel good." And I thought, you know what? That's 8 words that sum up our entire culture. And again, as parents, you know, as anybody who's married and really is trying to make their marriage work knows, if my lens that I look through is, does this make me feel good or not? Holy cow. It's self-evidently destructive, right? Like, if that's my only grid for how I think about what I do and what I value in life, man,
think about it. It's like the Outback, no rules, really.
No,
yeah,
totally.
Not so much.
Yeah, exactly. Not so much. It doesn't work. So anyway, I'm not sure how we got to this point in our conversation, which has mostly been me on a slightly grumpy monologue, and nobody likes it.
But I think it's important as we tie into entertainment, because it isn't just about what makes me feel good. And here's why, folks. We've been in an unprecedented time in history. Adam and I have walked you through this unprecedented time in history where entertainment is concerned. What can I watch? What can I do while I'm sitting here in lockdown? How can I connect with my children? It is very easy to slip into the realm of anything goes. It's easy to slip into the realm of, well, it makes me feel good, even though it kind of compromises family values. And you can see that truly, you are what you eat, and you can be as well with what you're watching. So, you know, it may be a time for a reset. And having said that, let's talk about what people are feasting on this weekend for entertainment. What's new out there?
So I'm going to kill 2 birds with 1 stone with a preemptive strike on a segment later in our conversation. So my positive pick for the week is the first thing that I want to talk about, and that's The Bad Batch. Are you familiar with The Bad Batch?
I am not.
Okay. So this is a new show on Disney Plus, and it is actually Star Wars, The Bad Batch. You've probably heard of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, which was an animated series that ran for, I think, 7 or 8 seasons. This picks up right at the end of that. And The Bad Batch refers to 5 clone troopers who basically were genetically messed up in some significant way, hence the name The Bad Batch. This is the bad batch of troopers that it didn't take. And in their case, for each of them, there's one particular trait that was overemphasized. So one of them's super strong. One of them's got basically supervision, which makes him a good marksman. One of them's super smart. It's basically lots of super things. They're almost like superheroes. And if you're familiar with the Star Wars story, you know that Emperor Palpatine, at the end of Revenge of the Sith, episode 3, declared, you know, Order 66, which was to go out and kill all of the Jedi. And he flips a switch, and all of his clone troopers, who right up into that moment had been good guys, instantly become the bad guys, because they've got a thing in their head that they're kind of mind controlled. Okay. So the Bad Batch, among their other issues, are totally immune from that. And they're in the middle of battle, and all of a sudden their peers are killing Jedi, and they're like, wait, what? This isn't good. And so they kind of become like the Magnificent Seven, you know, only it's 5. You know, it's this, now they're this rogue troop of superpowered clones battling against the Empire and teaming up with the nascent, I love that word nascent, it means just born, rebellion against the empire. It's super fun. My son and I watched the premiere episode on Tuesday, 72 minutes. The second episode is out this weekend.
And where is it viewable?
It's on Disney Plus.
Perfect.
So Star Wars aficionado.
Wait, Disney, I don't know. They know how to market things. I'm just telling you, they have been singularly the best outlet, especially throughout this pandemic, with WandaVision, with Winter Soldier. With Mighty Ducks, with a lot of things that they have marketed very, very well. We had talked about in prior interviews, Adam, that there have been things like the Justice League, which that would have been brilliant to go to Netflix or Prime and just market it as episodes rather than having to sit through, you know, the
42 hours of a movie that's really dark.
Yeah.
It was 4 hours, but it felt like 42.
It's true. So very good to know that. That's right up my alley, I'm telling you.
So it's super fun. And, you know, there's some violence, but I mean, it's content-wise, it'd even be, I would say, a notch down from The Mandalorian. And the guy who is the creative genius behind it is a guy named Dave Filoni. And he's actually one of the main guys with The Mandalorian, too. It's like, here's this guy who totally gets the Star Wars universe and just keeps introducing us to new corners of that, you know, franchise that are incredibly compelling with great characters and great stories. So I'm looking forward to more of that one.
Excellent. So there is something good to look forward to. That's kind of few and far between recently, right?
It feels like it, huh?
All right. So anything else that we can look forward to, or there's some things we have to go, I don't know.
Well, there is not much worth talking about today, but there is another movie out this weekend called Here Today, which is a Billy Crystal movie. And if you've been saying to yourself, self, it's time for Billy Crystal to make another rom-com weekend. Billy Crystal is now so old that he is playing a former comedy writer who is slipping into dementia. And frankly, I don't know that I want to live in a world where Billy Crystal is old enough to have dementia, but I digress. Because that makes me feel really old, too.
We did Prophecy Report this week, man. And I'm thinking, you know, that's a sign of the times, man. That's it, right there. World's coming to an end. Apocalypse.
Yeah, or at least my mind, you know, apocalypse on a small scale. So he is part of one of these celebrity auctions, and he gets auctioned off for a whopping $22 to have lunch with a woman played by Tiffany Haddish. And while they're out to lunch, she has an anaphylactic reaction to her seafood. He has to give her an EpiPen. Anyway, it really is a situational comedy, and that situation becomes the basis for an intergenerational friendship that kind of lurches towards being a non-traditional romance, kind of. And, you know, Billy Crystal as a man with dementia in a romance with somebody 30 years younger, you can imagine there are going to be a few off-color jokes involved. There's a little bit of language, like PG-13 territory, nothing super explicit, but probably not one that you want to take the kids to. And frankly, the kids are going to be like, who's that ancient, almost dead guy anyway? You know? Like, oh, he was in Princess Bride. Remember when we watched that? That's how you can help them.
That's great. You're also helping us navigate there. Okay, there you go.
There you go.
You know, something that I found interesting this week, sometimes I follow a program. You also review television shows on PluggedIn.com, and I've been following The Good Doctor, which is an interesting premise of an autistic doctor and a staff at a hospital where there's issues. The only difference difference between that and other hospital type shows is that this one has an autistic doctor, you know. It's been very political as of late, but it was interesting in one of the later episodes that I reviewed that they were talking about great division. And it was one of the first times that I've seen something that was an attempt to be balanced. And I maybe I'm overly optimistic, but I'm hoping that maybe somewhere along the line, Hollywood's saying, you know, we've gotten kind of ridiculous. And the premise of this episode, I don't know the name of the episode, forgive me, was there was a protest, a demonstration. Gunfire ensued. Two children were shot. And they were children of mothers on differing sides of the issue. So you watch the mothers as they, you know, hated each other or were angry at each other, blamed each other, and then eventually came together. You saw the dialogue between the surgeons on, well, I voted for Trump. Well, how could you? You're horrible. I can't associate with you anymore. First time I've really seen that in a mainstream, usually very one-sided, politically motivated program. I don't know if we're going to start seeing trends in that, but I found it refreshing.
Well, it is refreshing because I think the reality is people have different perspectives on things. And we've got to be able to have a sort of baseline of decency to be able to have a conversation with people who don't agree with us or whom we don't agree with without labeling them evil. Like when you tell somebody, because of your opinion, I think you're like Hitler. It's kind of a conversation stopper, right? I mean, and I think that when we demonize people, and both, it happens on the left and the right. This is not a unidirectional issue. It can happen both ways. Mm-hmm. When we demonize people, we're also dehumanizing them. And when we dehumanize them, it actually increases the likelihood that we're not going to treat them like human beings with dignity, with sanctity, with personhood, that all of us are created in God's image, right? And I'm glad to hear, to bring it back to a plugged in perspective and not just me going off theologically. I'm really glad to hear that there are stories that are beginning to at least a modicum of nuance, as opposed to just saying, hey, we know what's right and we know that you agree with us. And so we're just going to pick on one side.
Yeah.
You know?
It's what we see in the media because sometimes for ideology, and we can ascribe nefarious purposes, and some people will, but sometimes it's just to sell ads. It's just to get people riled up, because if you are, you'll watch more. There's a number of reasons, but it's nice to see that kind of balance. And I did want to mention, I don't know if you've actually, you know, our inability, I'm backtracking to set the stage, our inability to discuss things, we fall into illogical arguments. You know, we have a lack of logic. And so there are a number of phrases that point out that kind of illogical arguments. And we don't teach logic in school, unfortunately. Ad hominem is one of the worst, where it's to the man, you know, tear the person down. But there is one new phrase that is bantered that you alluded to, and it's ad Hitlerum. Ad Hitlerum,
oh, wow.
Meaning that we're having an argument. And so I just take it, boom, right to, well, you're a Nazi. Well, you know, you're just like Hitler. Well, and it's like, okay, where do you go? Okay, it's done. I mean, what do you do?
It's sort of like, it's like infinity, no, infinity plus one, infinity, you know, it's actually not like that at all. There's nowhere to go.
Because
after you completely assassinate someone's character by comparing them to someone who killed 6 million people, and then that's not even counting the people that the Germans killed in World War II, which, you know, let's tack another 10 or 20 million on. Actually, that's really a lousy argument, because you and I, in our opinions, have not killed 6 million people. In fact, we haven't killed anybody. And so, yeah.
Speak for yourself, Adam. be afraid. Be very afraid. No, I'm just kidding. Just
and this just turned into a true crime podcast. The first scene in which Michelle, our podcast host, confesses something terrible. No, but it goes back to the Billie Eilish thing. If all I can do, if my entire frame of reference for reality is it's all about what makes you feel good, again, that has infected our ability to have a conversation.
And our ability to interact as parents, because you were alluding parenting. And actually, I wanted to point out that in your blog and in your Plugged In show, you talk about what Hollywood is saying about families and parenting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's on the Plugged In show this week. And we talk about how Hollywood deals with comedy and how Hollywood deals with drama. Like, those are the two primary genres where family comes into play. We had a great conversation just about the pros and cons and the ups and downs of what does Hollywood have to say about family, because Hollywood does two things, and this isn't my idea. There's a guy in Pennsylvania named Walt Mueller who has the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. This is his idea. He said that entertainment acts as a map and as a mirror. So it reflects what's already there, but it reinforces the direction that we're going. And I think that Hollywood does that. You know, it takes what's happening culturally and shows where we're at, but it also points the way and says, you know, here are the values that we're reinforcing. And so as we watch things, we've got to be mindful of that, that at times Hollywood is just reflecting what's out there. And other times it's saying, no, we think this is the preferred way to think about something.
Hmm. Well, as we chat about entertainment, I'd like to look into the realm of the future and ask you what is coming up that we can look forward to maybe next week in the time that we chat or in coming weeks.
Well, again, coming weeks where we're at. Actually, there is a Hitler movie coming out that I know nothing about called Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit. That sounds pretty interesting. I don't know anything about that. The 28th, Memorial Day weekend, is really the kickoff for traditional big picture, the tentpole movies. So that weekend we have Cruella, which is the backstory on Cruella de Vil.
You seen it yet?
No, even as we were sitting here, I got an email saying we've got a link to it. So
All right.
But I won't be able to talk about it early because they fire us, you know, when that
comes. Of course, I know. By the way, if you've never screened, and some people are allowed, even, you know, regular people, not just movie reviewers, if you've never done it for Disney, you don't know what security is. I mean, TSA's got nothing on Disney. I mean, you can't sneeze the wrong way or you're out, man.
Exactly. And you violate their protocol once and you're cast into the outer Disney darkness. And, you know, Maleficent might be there, but nobody else you want to really come into. In the same weekend, A Quiet Place 2 comes out. So if you loved the first movie of people quietly trying to avoid aliens that kill you at the slightest sound you make, I'm sure A Quiet Place 2 will deliver again. And that's Emily Blunt and her family. John Krasinski, of course. Well, if you haven't seen the first one, spoiler warning, he bites the dust at the end of the first one. My 14-year-old son is chomping at the bit for A Quiet Place 2. So if you have adolescent boys, that will be a movie that it will be on their radar, definitely.
Yeah. If you can watch it in the theater, I recommend it, because watching it at home where you're used to maybe multitasking, it's not a multitask movie. It just is not.
No, it's actually a hide under the blanket kind of movie and pray that your heart doesn't fail at the jump scenes. Wow. The first one was intense and incredibly well done, because it was almost a silent movie, right? It really is about aliens that, if you breathe too loud, they hear you and they come for you. And then as we get into June, one that I know a lot of people are looking forward to is In the Heights, which is Lin-Manuel Miranda's new musical. So that one will be one that I think people will be definitely looking forward to. And then we have an Easter movie in June, Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. I actually love the first Peter Rabbit movie, so I hope this one is as much fun as the first one was.
Yeah, it was cute, wasn't it? It really was cute. It was an enjoyable film. That's the kind of film I do kind of like. You know, the Oscar winners, that's always nice. But, you know, sometimes in this world that we are traversing and in the current mindset, sometimes just a feel-good movie that doesn't have a message, isn't preaching to me. And hey, you know, we like those faith films too, but sometimes it's just nice to watch a film because I'm watching a film and just mindlessly stare, enjoy it, walk away and say, okay, that was good.
That was a lovely digital rabbit movie. Give me another one.
I like it. Adam Holtz can be found at PluggedIn.com, where y'all review movies and books, music, YouTube channels, video games, television shows. Pop culture is their thing, and they've got it in spades, and they can give you information, not just typical reviews where you hear, well, this is what it's about, and I liked it, or I didn't, thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. They really get into things that you want for families in particular, and to not waste your time, spiritual content, sexual content, other issues that you might go, yeah, I'll pass, I'm not there. So I appreciate all that you do to all of your staff, and especially you, because Adam, you are pretty cool.
I'm pretty cool. Plugging you into the movies, this is Adam Holt.
Thanks, Adam. We'll catch you next week.
All right. Thank you, so. Bye-bye.
More entertainment at MyMichelleLive.com.
That's right.